If you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, Pastor Jeff came to us. Actually, it was going to be a one message type thing called What in the World is Going On? And as he was going through that question, as he was asking that question, that's one that I think we all have when we look around the world around us. I personally don't think that's much different than it was even in Jesus' time. I think that they were looking at Herod, they were looking at the rest of the situation happening, the Pharisees, and saying, what in the world is going on? But the truth is, Pastor Jeff explained to us that he gave us a metaphor that was like a football game. And that we're like, there's two sides, they're fighting, there's a game being played, this thing's going crazy. And we're like the referees. Remember, he had the shirt on? I didn't even try to attempt to put that on, okay? If it's tight for him, it's going to be tighter for me. So he had the ref thing. And what we have, what our job is that we have God's rule book, right? And we're going through and looking at the world saying, I'm sorry, that's wrong. I'm sorry, that's wrong. And the world does not like that. And he brought us through Chronicles. And if you remember, the Israelites, all this, when the basic point is, when you're away from God and you reject God, then therefore there's consequences and turmoil because of that, right? So then he came to us the following week and he said, listen, what is the response for our souls, for our spirit? What is our spiritual response when we're in turmoil? And it's to turn towards God. To turn towards God. That is our responsibility for our spiritual well-being, for us responding in this chaotic world, is to turn towards God. But this morning, I want to talk to you about something a little bit more practical in nature. And it's a verse, two verses in the Bible particularly, that I've been chewing on for, I would say, maybe the better part of a year. And I've been thinking of these verses. They keeps coming up in our time. And they have to do with fools. How many of you, let me ask you, show of hands, you've been a Christian for a long time, you have run into what you would call a fool, right? Okay. I want to share with you just a story about how I was foolish just the other day, okay? Just a great, great story. So the Arcade Chamber of Commerce had, they used the gym on Friday morning for a prayer, not a prayer, that would be awesome. Nope, wasn't a prayer thing. there was prayer. I got to pray at it. But the thing that they were doing is they were honoring different people. The Ortels got honored as well as some other businesses in the area. As I'm at this Chamber of Commerce breakfast, I'm getting ready, and of course they're using our stuff, and I have to get their slides together, very similar to on a Sunday morning here. I'm running around trying to get things done. And as I do that, I see out of the corner of my eye the superintendent of Pioneer Central Schools, Ben Halsey. And I thought, oh, there's Ben. I got to make sure I make an effort to say hi to him this morning. So as I'm going through this thing, and I got, you know, all this chaos going on, I finally get everything together with seconds to spare. I'm walking around this corner, and I see this guy who resembles, I thought it was Ben Halsey. And he stands up to shake my hand. Well, I'm thinking, real quick, split, you know, decision. I go in, and I shake his hand, but I do what they call a bro hug. Does anybody know what a bro hug is? Bucky, come here so I can illustrate what a bro hug is. A bro hug is when you go in like this, and as he puts his head away from me, I realize this is not Ben Halsey. And I feel like a fool. And I think to myself, oh no. I just hugged this complete stranger that I don't know. At that same time, the man sitting across from him at the table stands to shake my hand. Well, I'm already committed. I'm going to give that guy a bro hug too. There's a doctor, a woman doctor. I am so committed, I have to now give her a bro hug as if this is what I do. This is just who I am. I said, thank you so much for coming. I'm so glad you guys are here, although I don't know who they are. It turned out to be like the vice president of the Wyoming County Community Healthcare System. He said, if you ever need anything, just let us know. I'm like a surgery, right? So Pastor Scott comes in and some other people I know, and I just go in for bro hugs because I gotta keep this thing going. I felt like a fool. I felt like an absolute fool. But the fool that we're going to be talking about isn't quite that. It's the biblical version of a fool. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've run into some of these. And it seems sometimes astounding, doesn't it, that they don't see things clearly as you do? It's like, how do you not see that? It's so clear. Whether you're talking about abortion or whatever the injustice is, it just seems so incredibly clear, and you just don't understand why they would disagree. Now, the Bible calls them fools, and I know that sounds harsh, but you got to remember, at this time, that's not harsh. They're just calling it what it is. You could think of it as uneducated, misinformed, in the dark, or ignorant, just not knowing. And the Bible shows... Hold on 1 second. See if we can do that. All right, the Bible would show that there are 4 different types of fools described in the Bible. And as we go over these, you're probably going to realize that you've run into this type of fool in your life, this type of person in the dark, this type of person who doesn't understand. The first one we see is the atheistic fool. These are the type of people who say there is no God. They say there's no God, therefore there's probably no rules, and maybe if there's some good in us, right? And while they're saying these things, I'm thinking of the verse in Psalms 14:1, where he says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, and there is no one who does good. So that's the first one you run into often, right? There is no God, there is no truth, there is nothing, it's all, we're just here by accident. It seems so amazing that you could walk out on a day like today and see the trees and see the beauty of God's creation and walk away from it saying there is no God. It seems foolish. The second one we see is the religious fool. The religious fool believes that there is a God, yes? And you've probably heard this before. Well, I believe there's a God. They believe that there is a God, but they don't recognize or worship the one and only true God, so they reject the cross. Yes, they believe there's a creator of some kind, they believe that. Sometimes they'll say, I believe all roads go to heaven. I believe, you know, that is the type of fool that you're looking at and saying, then what was Jesus? Why would he have to do what he did? It doesn't make sense. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. The power of God. The next one we see is the non-trusting fool. These are the type of fools or people that believe, and they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they believe in the cross, but they're not following it. They have a head knowledge of these things, but they're trusting in something other than the cross, something other than Jesus. Maybe it's a religious system. Maybe it's, you know, this, that, and the other. It's a way of trusting in something other than complete submission to Jesus. Maybe they're in this point where they just don't see God's salvation through the cross. And Jesus speaks to these people in Matthew 7:26. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. So they hear it, but they do not do it. He goes on to say, it's like building your house on the sand. It's ridiculous. It's foolish. And the fourth one I have for you is the disobedient fool. This is the one that, if we're not careful, we can also fall into being a disobedient fool. It's the person who is saved by Jesus, but for some reason or another is acting completely opposite of the new creation that we're called to be. Sometimes we think that's just like somebody who's in a marital situation. Maybe they're having an affair. It could be. Sometimes we think it's somebody who's on drugs. You know, that's what we think, they're a disobedient fool. But can I also say to you that a disobedient fool is doing anything that God has not asked them to do, or doing the opposite of what God has asked them to do as it aligns to the scriptures? Gossip, that's a disobedient fool. And if we're all to be honest, that's one that we've been in the past and we have the danger of becoming in the future as well. But the question that I'd like to ask this morning is, what do we do when we encounter a fool? What do we do? Luckily, the Bible has answered that question. I'm going to invite you to turn to Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. While you're turning there, I'd like to point out to you that there are folks in the world that would say that the Bible contradicts itself. There are those that would say that these two verses that we're going to read this morning contradicts themselves. Obviously, we do not believe that the Bible contradicts itself, but if you're going to go on Google today and search Bible contradictions, you would come to this passage, Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. So, why is this so contradicting? Let's read it. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Now, at first glance, you can see why this seems very contradicting, right? You can see, like, wait, hold on, don't answer a fool. Okay, answer a fool. Wait, which one is it? Which one is it? And those that are blind to the truth would say this is a contradicting statement, that it's there. Can I ask you a question? For those that were helping Solomon putting all this together in these Proverbs, why in the world would they put two contradicting verses right next to each other?
Hey, Solomon, I've got a problem here. This one says this, and this one says the other. I think that people are going to raise some questions. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we probably shouldn't do that, especially not right next to each other. Maybe spread them out. No, there's a reason why they're next to each other.
It's because they're both true, depending on the scenario that you find yourself in. They're both truth. That's what Proverbs are. They're truth, but it depends on the scenario you find yourself in. It is illegal and wrong to speed, right? Unless you are driving an ambulance and you got to make a call, right? Now it's not illegal, and it's necessary. Do not speed. When you do speed for an ambulance, right? This is what we're talking about. So, because they're not contradicting, they're proverbs, they're truths. Well, I'd like to tell you today that when we're breaking this down this morning, we have to keep in mind what Pastor Jeff said last week, is that we are turning to God, because God will be able to answer the question of which one you are to do. So let's look at the first one. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. There are times in life when a fool is spouting off foolish things, and it's better and wiser for you not to answer according to their folly. Let me say it like this. You don't always have to correct a fool. Let me release you in that this morning. For those that are like me and like sometimes are, we like conflict at times, you do not always have to answer a fool. We live in a world where many people believe that it's their job to correct every fool. You know what social media is. Let me give you some statistics of how many people are on social media in the world, okay? Now, this is according to Facebook. This was done in February of 2019. So the numbers may be a little different, but pretty close. According to Facebook statistics, 51% of 13 to 17-year-olds are on Facebook. Only 51. 81%, that's the highest percentage, of 18 to 29-year-olds use Facebook. 78% of 30 to 49-year-olds use Facebook. 78%. And get this one, 65% are 50 to 64-year-olds. That's higher than the 13 to 17. And then 41% of 65-year-olds use Facebook. That's in the world. That's a huge number. There's a lot of people on Facebook, and what you're probably wondering, why am I saying that? It's because that is the one part of our culture that I'm speaking to you in. Jesus spoke to his culture. You know, the apostles spoke to theirs. I'm speaking to you in ours. That our culture is on Facebook and social media, and their job and what they believe is true is that we need to be able to answer every single stupid argument on the planet. And that I need, my voice needs to be heard so that everybody else knows that I'm right. That is where we're at in this world. And if I can tell you this, because there's a lot of people on Facebook and social media, there are a lot of foolish people on Facebook and social media. In case you're not tracking with me, let me put it to you plainly. You will see something foolish posted on social media this week, if not today. But you do not have to correct that person. You don't always have to. We live in a world where everybody's correcting everyone. It's drama, drama, drama. That's what you believe? Let me tell you what I believe. This is what I believe. And as we're watching it, as we're seeing this, I wonder to myself, how many arguments have been won online? How many arguments have been won on social media? How many have been won in an email? How many have been won in a text message? And the reason being is that we feel so bold because we have a screen that makes us feel tough. I can write whatever I want. And your angry fingers and your thumbs, they're going. You'll say anything. I'm saying to you this morning, you do not have to say something. Not always. We jump ahead, face first. We respond to the foolish person and their folly, and we don't even think about whether we're supposed to or not. We're not turning to God and asking him, should I respond? The reason why we do that so quickly, again, is because we have the screen. But can I say, for those of you who take pride in not being on social media, I know you're in here, you're not off the hook. How do you respond when a coworker says a dirty joke? Do you always respond? Or how about that family member that always says something offensive? The dude who cut you off on the way to church this morning, did you give him your vehicle correction device? You're an idiot. That's what it says, right? You're a moron. You did something wrong. This happened to me yesterday. I was driving. This guy cut me off. I could not believe he didn't see me, and I wanted so desperately to hit that button. Vehicle correction. Moron. You don't have to. But there's something within us that thinks that we always should. But it's always, listen, this is what the Bible's saying, is that sometimes it's better to not answer. Why? Here it is. Or you yourself will be just like him. I love this in the message. It says it like this. Don't respond to the stupidity of a fool. You'll only look foolish yourself. Have you ever noticed that when somebody's acting like a fool on social media or something or in the world and somebody jumps in and corrects them and then they both look foolish? You ever notice that? It's crazy how this happens. I've noticed it about myself. Somebody will post something on Facebook that's, let's say it's about abortion, and I run in there like crazy, and I'm posting all these things that I've researched, and I'm saying this, that, and the other, and I look like the idiot. Why? Not because of what I'm saying wasn't true. Most of the time, it's because of how we're saying it. It's almost always our fault. Because we respond to them in their folly and we respond condescendingly. We respond arrogantly, demeaning. We put them down. We curse them and use foul language. We'll do those things when we're worked up and emotional, not looking at God, but reacting out of our own flesh. Yeah, the head knowledge might be true. You might have some truth there, but you're going about it wrong. You're acting like a fool. And that doesn't help anybody. This is where people online will get their popcorn ready. They just sit there and enjoy the show, watching two people go at it like a bunch of morons. Well, look at you, you dummy. But we're making no advancement, and we're not making it better. We're making it worse. See, sometimes a fool just does not want to hear what you have to say. You ever try to reason with somebody who just does not get it? It could be about something very simple. They just don't get it. Don't even bother sometimes with trying to make them understand it, because they don't want to hear what you have to say. It's okay. You don't have to say it. Sometimes people are trying to bait you into responding so that you look like a fool. You have to use wisdom. You have, and you can only get that from turning to God. That's the only thing, is getting God's wisdom for those moments. Now, some of you are here, and I'm sure you're saying, you're thinking, see, maybe you're the type of person who's not, controversial. You're not, you don't want to go in there and try to fix things. You're non-confrontational. And you're thinking, there it is. I don't have to say anything. I told you. Well, unfortunately, you can't just take one truth and ignore the other. You can't let this one be an excuse for not saying anything, because in verse 6 it says, answer a fool according to his folly. Some of you saw that coming, but you're still shocked. I read it earlier, but still you're like, oh, shoot, I have to say something. The truth is sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you have to say something. I'm sorry, I'm not God, I didn't write this, I didn't put this Bible, I'm just reading from it. But sometimes you have to say something. And if you're the type of person that doesn't want to be confrontational, this is very challenging for you. The other one is very challenging for the confrontational person, because you have to shut your mouth. But now this is tough, because if you're non-confrontational and you run away from confrontation all the time, now you're like, oh, shoot, I got to actually say something. Here's the why. Why do I have to say something? And it says this, here's the risk. Or he will be wise in his own eyes. The other risk was that you'll look like a fool. And this risk is that he will be wise in his own eyes. I've been on this earth long enough to know that when fools toss out foolish speech, they usually get other fools agreeing with them as well. It's amazing. It's like lemlings just growing. Like, where do you get this from? Proverbs 26:2 says, in just a few verses actually, right after this, says it actually distinguishes the difference between a fool and someone who's wise in their own eyes. And it says this: do you see a person who is wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for them. And sometimes it just starts with a fool saying foolish things. And if you don't say anything, they will start to think they're right. And they will lead others to think that they're right as well, if you don't say anything, or if someone else doesn't. They'll become wise in their own eyes. See, what we're looking for is us for to be wise in God's eyes. We're looking for God's eyes to be wise. That's what we're looking for, his wisdom, not our wisdom. The wisdom of a fool says, I am wise. But what we're saying is, God's wise, and I want his wisdom. And sometimes you have to use that to correct. See? Sometimes I find these people and they'll say these things like, oh, they'll bring up an argument and you have nothing to say. And they go, that's what I thought. Right? That's what I thought. You don't got anything to say. I was right. I knew I was right anyway. Sometimes you got to say something. And the one thing that makes sense to me, why the Bible would say this is not good, is because that what I said is other people following them. Sometimes you need to have the wisdom to be able to say something for the sake of others, so that they are not led away from the foolish speech or ideology or theology or morals. Others will follow that fool. But when you have your eyes set on God, when you pursue him, his ways, his wisdom, the goal is to be able to discern whether I'm supposed to say something or whether I'm not. That is the goal. Now, the next question I have, well, let me say this. Does everybody have a crazy person in their family, or is it just me? I'm just wondering. Everybody got a crazy family member? Sometimes, let's call her Crazy Great Aunt Edna. And crazy great Aunt Edna comes over to Thanksgiving dinner in just a couple weeks here, in about a month. And while she's there, everyone in that room knows that she is going to say something incredibly offensive or stupid. You just know it. That's crazy great Aunt Edna. She's going to say something dumb. There is no risk for crazy great Aunt Edna to lead somebody astray with her foolishness. You don't have to say anything. You can shut up. Because if you correct crazy great Aunt Edna, you will become crazy whatever your name is. And they're like, oh my gosh, they know that person's nuts. Why are they even getting into this? It's causing drama in the household. Nobody's going to be led astray. Trust me, we all know she's nuts. You don't have to say anything to great, crazy great Aunt Edna. You just let her be dumb. Let her be foolish. Let her be racist or whatever she says. You don't have to correct it. Because she's that way and she is not risking anybody else to become that way. Yes, it might hurt, it might be offensive, but you don't have to say something. There's no risk. They may be wise in their own eyes, but everybody else is looking at them and saying, you are foolish, you are foolish. However, if you're in a small group with a lot of new believers, and someone in that small group brings up something that's completely against what we believe in Scripture or of who God is, yes, that is a time to probably correct them. We have to be wise. We have to be looking and knowing if it's our job to respond or if it's our job to shut up. So that leads us to the question, how do I respond to a foolish person? I've taken an account. I've seen, okay, I have to say something in this situation. How do I talk to this person that is saying foolish things? How do I respond? What do I say? And to answer that question, I think we should look at Peter and what Peter says. If you turn to 1 Peter, if you don't know him, Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He followed him for almost 3 years. I mean, he knew Jesus, and he knew how he operated. He knew how he worked, and he wrote, in 1 Peter, he wrote something that I think is so vital for us to understand as Christians in this room and in the world. I believe this is something for all Christians to make sure that we have down. See, he had seen Jesus with his many encounters with fools. He had seen them, well, the things that are recorded in Scripture, and many, I'm sure, that weren't. So here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give a good answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with, let's say this together, gentleness and respect. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Gentleness and respect. Let me ask you, maybe it's just me, but is it your first natural out of your flesh to be gentle and respect when somebody is questioning you or saying something foolish? Is that what comes out naturally? I'm just going to be super nice this person. No, you're not at all. There's two different things we normally do. We run away from the situation, right? Actually, Peter knows that quite well. He denied Jesus 3 times. We run away from the situation. No, I don't want to say no. Or we go in like a bull in a china shop and tear everybody a new one. Right? You're an idiot. I can't believe you. What are you doing? We do the opposite of gentleness and respect out of our own nature. Peter is telling us that it's not good to run away and be scared when you need to say something, and it's not good to blow up and go crazy. He's saying to do it with gentleness and respect. See, this is the scenario where we have to respond, but if we don't respond in gentleness and respect, what are we doing? Well, here we are, gentleness and respect. Why? It's very similar to our opening text that we had. So right here, so that their slander, or it says, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You respect in gentleness and respect. Respect is a word that we don't use very often. It's not popular in our culture. But if you honor them, if you respect them in that moment, they're the ones who are going to be ashamed of their slander. They're the ones who will be foolish. You don't even have to do it. You don't even have to say that. You say whatever the truth is. You just speak the truth. You're reading from the rule book, right? Got the rule book. I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. Here's what the Lord says. And what people, that's crazy to some people, but this is what the Lord says. You don't have to get all nasty. You don't have to puff up and say this and put them down. You don't have to do those things. In fact, don't do those things, because when you do, you become the disobedient fool that we talked about earlier. When we respond to fools foolishly, they're still fools, but so are we at that point. When we respond to fools with gentleness and respect, they're the ones who are ashamed of their slander. The Apostle Paul speaks to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 4:15, and he says, while there's a lot of false teaching and deceitful scheming going on, he says this, that we are to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Some people just don't like truth. It's the truth. It's the truth that they don't like truth. In fact, sometimes we don't like truth either, right? We have to be very careful. In closing, I want to say this. I had given you four different fools that the Bible talks about. The atheistic fool. We talked about the religious fool that believes there is a God but doesn't believe in Jesus. We believe in those that are non-trusting, that, yeah, they believe that Jesus existed, but they haven't surrendered their lives to him. We've talked about disobedient fools. But the fifth fool is the one that the world looks at us as being. And that's the Jesus fool. This is the fool we want to be. This is the fool you want to be, a fool for Jesus. You want to be a fool for Jesus. I think of when Jesus was there and that woman caught in adultery. Sometimes we read it like, you who have never sinned, you can cast the first stone. But I can see him saying it in such a strong, loving, truthful, and respectful way. You who have never sinned, who have no sin, you can throw the first stone. I think about when he was on trial with Herod. Remember that? Pontius Pilate hands him off to Herod. Herod's sitting there. He's like, come on, do something for me, man. Do something. And it says that Jesus answered him not. Jesus knew when to speak and when not to speak. And when he did speak, he did it in gentleness and respect. Now, you may be thinking right now, I can think of times where Jesus was not gentle and respectful. Listen, there are some things that God, who has no sin, can do that when we try to do it that way, it comes out in the flesh, okay? That's just the truth. You call somebody a brood of vipers. See, Jesus was never trying to elevate himself above the Pharisees, ever. He was trying to speak to them in words that they wouldn't understand, words that would pierce their heart. That's not always our job. In fact, it tells us in Scripture that we are to be gentle and respectful. Not wimpy, not saying, I'm not going to speak the truth, I'm not going to read from the rule book because people won't like me. No, gentleness and respect. Honor. The Jesus fool is the one that they're looking at us and saying, what are they seeing? How do they see it like that? You know, the way we look at them and say, how can you look at that? Like, here's the difference. This is going to make it real simple for you. Jesus says he is the light. If Jesus is the light, and if we're not in the light, then we're in darkness. Have you ever been in your house when all electricity goes off and you try to maneuver through your house and you're tripping over stuff? Right? People who are in the dark cannot see what you and I see. That's just the truth of the matter. It's not like they're hateful. They could just be ignorant to the fact that they're in the dark. They don't know. People in the darkness do not behave like Christians because they're not Christians. They don't act like they're in the light because they're not in the light. And they see us and go, what in the world are you looking at? And we're like, how do you not see it? This is the paradigm. This is what's happening between us and the world. And our job as Christians is to live in the light, treat them with respect and honor, to try to give them to the point where they can see the error of their ways, so that they can walk in light and say, look at all this stuff I was tripping over. I was messed up. We've all experienced that in this room, hopefully, right? That we can see things that were just not seeable before Jesus. Oh my gosh, it's amazing to me. That is the hope. That is what Jesus is bringing to this planet, to all of mankind, that we can be free from the chains, that we can be free from the darkness and walk in the light and see what things are, see truth for what is truth. And if we don't come, if we don't shut up at times, and we don't speak up at times, if we're not turning towards God and doing as he's asked us to do, how can we lead others to the light? I want to pray for you this morning. And I know, listen, I know I'm not the only one that has been the disobedient fool at times. I have, probably this week, probably this morning. But I do feel like the Lord has, I don't think he wants us to stay in any of those top four. If you're here this morning and maybe you're in that, I want to encourage you that the fool is not to say that you're an idiot. That's not a put down. It's just a word of what it is. It's ignorant. I know truth hurts sometimes, but that's the truth. But the Jesus fool says, I don't care what people think about me. I'm following after God. I'm following after the truth that he has laid out for me. I'm following after his plan for my life. I'm following after those things. Now, while we live as the Jesus fool, there are times that we need to be incredibly, incredibly focused on God. And that's all the time. All the time. Be focused on God, what he's seeing through his eyes, because that way you don't put your foot in your mouth when you don't need to. We want God's wisdom, right? I do. We need to chase after that. So if you're here this morning, listen, I'm not the only one, I'm sure. But if you're here this morning and you just want to be the Jesus fool and you want to chase after his wisdom, I'm just going to ask that you stand. You don't have to. Don't stand if you don't want to. But right now, just stand and just right now say, God, will you give me your wisdom? I am turning to you right now in this place, Lord. I'm turning to you and asking, God, would you give me your wisdom? Take out all the wicked inside of me, Lord. Take out the self-righteousness that we have, the ability to listen and care about others. Lord, take out that nastiness, because the truth without love is just truth that is almost falling on deaf ears. We need your love to first come to us so that we can bring that out to others. But Lord, we're not going to sacrifice the truth. We are not going to put that by the wayside. Lord, we know that you came in truth and grace, full of both. Lord, would you fill us up right now with that, Lord? Fill us up again afresh with your Holy Spirit. We're turning to you in this time. We're turning to you in times of turmoil. We're turning to you, Lord, when there's children that are being aborted and killed. And that hurts. That's a tough word to say, that abortion is killing. But Lord, we know that we need to be better at saying that in love, but we won't give up standing up for others. We will not give up. Lord, we know there's social injustices, there's all this stuff that's out there, and Lord, we're standing in the gap for them, but we're asking first and foremost, Lord, that we would do it truth, with grace, with respectfulness, with honor. Fill us up, Lord, to see things through your eyes and to respond as you would. Lord, we're asking for wisdom. We know that your Bible, Lord, your word says that, well, you might as well sell all your clothes and just get wisdom, because there is nothing on this planet that we need more than this time right now is your truth, your grace, and your wisdom. We ask for that today, Lord. Give that to us. Allow us to respond. I feel like maybe there's someone in this room that you've been tempted to respond to a fool and his folly, and you've been wondering, should I say something or not? I believe that the Lord is saying, pursue me first and foremost, and I will give you the words to say when the time is coming. Some of you have family members and you're thinking of the foolishness. Don't run in like a bull in a china shop. You ask the Lord to take over. You ask the Lord to give you wisdom to speak or wisdom to shut up. There are some in this room, I know, and I'm one of them, that you say things that you just wish, oh, words are coming out. I wish I could put them back in. I pray that the Lord will give you and I, would give us the ability of self-control to be able to know whether to say something or not. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your truth. But we know, Lord, that this world is tripping all over awful stuff. And we're asking God, help us help you bring them into the light. Help us. We're co-laborers with Christ. We're co-laborers with Christ. That means we do things like our co-laborer. We do things like God would. That's what he's asking us to do. Lord, we want to do that too. Fill us afresh, we ask, Lord. Fill us for this week. Fill us for this month. Fill us for this next season of our lives. Allow us to respond when we need to and to shut up when we need to as well. We ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Convict us, guide us, comfort us, we ask. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We all said, amen.